Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Happy Thursday. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jalen Hawkins from our Atlanta Hawks. Also, we'll get to an NFL blitz. And Coach Tooley's going to stop by this hour as we'll talk about the Dogs taking on Vandy this upcoming weekend. But tonight at 6, it's pretty cool. And it's something that's going on across all Odyssey stations. Join 92.9 The Game and Odyssey, 6 o'clock tonight, a live two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports and insight from some of the most respected mental health professionals as we strive to destigmatize talking about mental health. This year's broadcast is going to include the likes of Imagine Dragons, Lizzo, Doja Cat, Zach Williams, who's the son of Robin Williams, Justin Bieber, Darius Rucker, Demi Lovato. There's so many folks that are going to be a part of this, and it's called I'm Listening Thursday. That's tonight from 6 to 8 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org. We say good afternoon to Jalen Hawkins, who is with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jalen, good to have you back on the show, man. I know, you know, everybody's talking about the record 0-2, but you guys get another chance this weekend against the Giants. I want to ask you about the progression of the defense and how difficult has it been to pick up on what Dean Pease is trying to get you guys to do.
Oh, man, you know, we have a very versatile defense, man. Do a lot of things, do plenty of things, as many people can see. All we're trying to do is just, you know, perfect it as a unit, all in one. Everybody get on the same board, communication. I mean, that's why we're out here practicing, man, day by day. We're just trying to get better.
So you've been here 2 years now, and I know you work with Dan Quinn and the other coaching staff. So how crazy is this playbook? I know it's a tablet. So does smoke come out of this thing when you fire up the computer?
Oh, man, it's a good playbook. You know what I'm saying? A lot of pressures, a lot of stuff, man. Just a lot of stuff that comes with this playbook. You know, it's just a good playbook. Hello?
Yeah, I was going to say, and I didn't know if you were done there. I apologize. What'd you guys learn from the game last week? When you go back and watch the film and you talk about the playbook and the extensive, you know, calls in it, what do you think you guys can learn and then build on for this weekend?
We could just learn from our mistakes, you know, that we made in the game. You know, it's just like little slight things, man, that we did in the game. You know, the game can't be played perfect. So, you know, of course we made some mistakes here and there, but we're just working on fixing that this week, man, and bettering ourselves.
From watching it on TV, Jalen, it seemed like you guys, once things were rolling, especially in the third quarter, when you started getting some stops and you got Brady off the field, it seems like as a unit there was confidence. You guys got a little swagger. Was that right?
Yeah, man. You know, the swag coming. Everything's coming, man. You know, slow. We coming, man. Slowly but surely, man. We're just working on building day by day, man. That's the thing, man. Constant progression, you know, throughout this whole season. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, coach preaches on it. You know, we're just working to get better.
What'd you come into the season wanting to be better at, Jalen?
Man, everything. You know, my overall gameplay. I work on a lot of things. You know, I'm not the perfect player. You know, so I work consistently and constantly. So yeah.
I know we mentioned that you've been here now second season with the Falcons. What is the coach like? We get the coach on the radio once a week, but what is Arthur Smith like to you compared to the previous regime? Are the guys vibing with it? What's it like?
You know, I mean, everybody that we have here, you know, are great coaches, man, including, you know what I'm saying, Arthur Smith, Coach Smith, you know what I'm saying, great coach, man. You know, really is on us, you know, all about the little things, the discipline, discipline of the team, you know, our effort, you know, stuff like that, man. I love coaching. I love the way, you know, the culture is implemented in this program and what's going on. And I like where we're moving towards.
It's Jalen Hawkins, guys, here on the WaitForward.com hotline. It's Dukes and Bell talking about the upcoming game Sunday. It's Giants. So what have you seen on film about the New York football Giants?
Oh, man, they're a good football team, you know, a team with many weapons, you know. Quarterback's good, you know, good receiving group, you know, some veteran group, some veteran players on that receiving group, great running back, you know, overall just a good team.
So when do you ask Coach to give you some more blitzes, man, get you more time getting on the QB?
Say that one more time.
I said, when do you, are you lobbying Coach Pease to get more hits, get more blitzes for you?
Man, you know, I'm just doing my plays, man. I'm playing one play at a time. If he decides to call it, then he calls it. If not, you know, I'm out there doing my job, man, and helping the team win.
You still writing rhymes?
Say that one more time. I got rhymes? Yeah, I still got rhymes, but, you know, I'm a little windy right now. Mouth a little dry. We just got no practice. I'm at the wrong time. I could have me at a better time. This is before, okay, but yeah, not to dry.
Well, listen, it's a long season, bro. It's a long season.
Carl, this rhymes to be made, but the man needs some Gatorade.
It's a long season. We're gonna get a chance to get you on. I know you write and you're in the lyrics and all of that. So we talked to you last time when you were coming out of school, and you were like, "That's kind of the thing," and you were coming to Atlanta. Have you been able to embrace any of the culture here?
Yeah, embraced all of it, man. You already know the rap scene out here is crazy. So, embraced all of it, man. So I've been embracing it since I was all the way in California.
That's
so,
what's up.
Yeah, now it's just I'm here, so you know, I'm embracing everything.
All right. Well, I mean, next time I know you're getting off the practice field. I don't know if you need cliff notes, but we definitely want some freestyle or something. We want to hear something on live on the radio, right, Carl?
Yes, sir.
Like an audition, or not?
Jalen, man, thank you for coming on, brother. We appreciate it. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. He's like, I'm a little winded. I hope that he, so, you know, does that mean he made him run today?
He won't be spinning any rhymes anytime soon. Like, you know, it's funny. And I was just talking about this with Chris, our engineer producer, and Sean. You know, Dean Pease is one of these old school coaches, kind of like Wade Phillips. He is not really pulling punches. And I don't know if that's helping with the message from, like, what the fans are perceiving. But when the defensive coordinator basically says, oh, this guy, he's not ready to get on the field, and he's like a second-round draft pick, as we talked earlier about Richie Grant. Or, you know, he was talking earlier, you know, just basically saying, oh, hell, we didn't get a chance to run this defense in the preseason. He's brutally honest, and I think it's refreshing from his fan standpoint, but do you think it makes the organization look a little disorganized?
It's a good question. You know, everybody wants to put on the public face, right? Like, we've got things under control, things are great, we're going to be fine. But I'm appreciating, and I hope Falcon fans appreciate, this is the Bill Parcells line of coaching. This is Parcells to Belichick. This is... I'm going to tell you what's going on when you ask me, and if you don't want to know the answer, then don't ask me. Mm-hmm. And that I appreciate. I don't necessarily dig, because I know everybody does it, but I don't dig the, you know, oh, everything's fine. Right. We're good over here. Everybody's working hard. I love the fact that Dean P said today that guys have to earn playing time, one, that, you know, we had an injury to our best corner in A.J. Terrell, and he's like, listen, the guy that came in didn't come in simply because he got hurt. He's been playing well in practice. He deserved the playing time. I like to hear that, Mike, because, again, to me, it gets back to accountability. It gets back to just because you were a high draft pick don't mean jack. Earn it.
And I think, as you said, I mean, and it's not a knock. It just is what it is. There was a lot of spin, or as Carl said, kind of painting a rosy picture in every soundbite that we would get from Coach Quinn. And I thought, you know, when Raheem Morris took over, we got a little more from him, right? You know, we got a little bit more about, a little more dose of honesty with where the thing was. But I just, I don't know what, as we said yesterday, people were expecting this team to be. I don't like the fact that we didn't have these guys all on the same page defensively as the coach. I mean, like, we're not making it up. The coach said it. I wish we had handled preseason differently, and perhaps next year Arthur learns from that. But there were going to be some bumps in the road and a learning curve for the coaches and for the players, as we're finding out now. I just was under the impression Richie Grant is a wind him up and let him go out there and do stuff guy. And apparently not, at least in this defense, not yet.
No, not yet. And for me, this is how I'm looking at Dean Pease's defense until we get either more acclimated or we get more better players. And part of that is, like, when you're coaching Ray Lewis and company, that's different. But even when those guys were on the field, his defenses were still good. And Mike, part of this is, he said, you know, today we're giving up too many points in the red area, which is red zone. He's right. But you can bend. Defenses can give up a bunch of yards in today's NFL. Guys, all these quarterbacks are throwing for 5,000 yards. You add another game onto this now, everybody's going to be looking at 5,000 yards, okay? So you can give up yards, but when you get in the red area, as he called it, Mike, that's where you got to be able to get off the field. Got to give up three, not six. And that's been part of our issue. So That's how I'm looking at this defense. I know they're going to, teams are going to go up and down the field because that's just the NFL. But till you get off the field in the red zone, you know, three of the five times that teams are down there in a game that allows you to win a game. Because if they go 5 for 5, you're not winning.
Right. And this is still a game, regardless of where you thought we were going to be by week 3. I think everybody out there feels this is a game we've got to win. Now, you know, there's the Giants are a team which, let's be honest, Carl, they're basically in the same boat as us as far as putting four quarters together. You know, the coach preaches discipline. They don't play discipline. They had guys, you know, neutral zone infractions, guys jumping off sides. They gave an extra kick to the Washington football team, which resulted in the field goal that was kicked to win it. So you got a quarterback who can get outside the tackle box and do some things. It's still kind of hard to read between the lines with just how much we're going to see from Saquon Barkley. We spoke to a beat reporter who covers the Giants. I read some stuff today. They think that Saquon Barkley is going to have a significant workload go up in this game against us on Sunday.
Well, Mike, you got to at some point progressively work him back into the offense so that he can take that pressure off of Daniel Jones. I think that's been part of the issue. They're asking Daniel to do a lot. He's been good. But how much easier is his job if he hands the ball off 20 times to Saquon or gets him the ball, you know, in space or whatever? But, you know, I only mention this because it's terrible. Nick Gates, one of their offensive linemen, he got hurt in that Washington game.
Yeah.
And they're saying it could be career ending.
Yeah.
But here's a guy that was, you know, again, a starter on that line, Mike. He's done for the season. So you already have the Giants, very similar to us the last couple of years, trying to make adjustments, and now you're trying to fill in. Can we take advantage of that? I don't know who will be over him. I don't know who's going to be, you know, coming off the edge against this guy, who's ever taken Nick Gates' place. But the point is, that's an area where you got to take advantage of. It seems like every time we have injuries on the O-line, teams take advantage of it.
Right. And I know that we've been talking so much about, you know, how does Mayfield plug in? I think Coach kind of agreed a little bit, or he wouldn't give us all the secret sauce on it, but there's got to be better communication in the center of the line. You know, I thought Lindstrom did a better job than anybody else out there. I mean, Jake Matthews now is like the best lineman by default because of his experience. But you know, they've got to get the communication better because, you know, it's a copycat league. You hear that phrase because everyone copycats the copycat phrase. But it's a copycat league, and the Giants are going to do or try to do some of the things that the Eagles and the Bucks did against us. More about like what the Eagles did against us.
Yeah, they surely are. You guys are more than welcome to find us, guys. Chime in. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, this radio station, 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. And, of course, find us on Twitch. We're live there every day. And subscribe to that exclusive content and find us on the gram. It's all about the gram. Let's talk about Dante Fowler for a second, because Fowler and Chris, let's play this, because Fowler was asked about how he felt. He had an impact. Okay, we didn't win the game, but he had an impact. And it's something that we've said we needed to see more of with Fowler. Mike, he says he feels as good as he's ever felt.
These past games, I haven't been having to worry about, you know, lateral movements, getting off the blocks, and knowing that if I do a certain movement, my ankle will probably give out and stuff like that. And I'm just out there just being able to play. I'm healthy. I don't have to worry about none of that stuff.
He had 3 tackles, 2 solos, and, of course, the sack where he busted in and creates a turnover. I mean, this is the kind of guy, play we need from this guy. And in his defense, because, really, look, we've been killing him. I'm guilty as charged. I've said he's a buster. You know, but if he's not 100%, and that was something that, again, Dan Quinn would always kind of slow roll. Remember, we asked all the time last year, is Fowler 100%?
Right.
Never get a straight answer. And it turned out, you know, just like with Tack, well, it's the shoulder, it's this, it's that. You know, just like we talked about soccer, completely different sport, I get it, but Barco's been healthy for the first time in his career here. If Fowler can get healthy, stay healthy, and have the impact, because as Chuck Smith says, he's got all the requisite tools. He's just got to put it together.
Yeah. If he gives me this kind of effort week in and week out, he'll end up close to double-digit sacks if he stays healthy over the course of the season, and he'll have a bigger impact on this team. He's one of the highest paid guys still, even with the pay cut guys, right, on this football team. Here is a guy that you're relying on. There's about 9 of those guys maybe on this team where you just, you know, Jake Matthews, check. Matt Ryan, check. You just go down the list. Calvin, he's a part of that. So Fowler's got to be a dominating force. And last week he showed that he can be that. And again, we didn't get any points out of the turnover, Mike. He creates a turnover. There we get back to the offense. We didn't get any points out of that. So, you know, if we score there, we're maybe in the lead, you know, in the fourth quarter early, and maybe it changes the complexion of the game. All of that stuff matters, but the point is, it looks like he did his job last week. I just hope he continues to do it and shows flashes like this, because that to me – we can take the pressure off of Dante Fowler saying, when's this guy going to show up if he plays like this?
Right. I mean, when we get that field position, you know, I think we really wanted to see us go for it. We decided not to go for it. In that case, it actually was a good punt by the punter. That was the 54-yarder. But again, you're close to midfield. You're feeling, hey, man, let's get after it. And hell, man, I mean, even if you want to dial up that, you know, and Matt Ryan was like kind of like, I guess, was he, I don't know if it was Matt not liking the vibes, the questions about his 2-yard scramble, as if he could never, like, what do you think, I can't do that? But anyway, but I mean.
Well, we didn't want to put you in that kind of danger. Yeah, that's,
I mean,
the thing.
Some imagination. Look, I get it. If you feel that, you know, I really can't run on these guys because the center of my line is going to get blowed up if they know we're going to sell out to the run. So maybe that was the logic behind it. But then later on, we go for it in actually technically worse field position in short yardage.
Did you now? I like the RPO. I don't know how many we may never see that again, right. But every team's got to now say when they get down there, he could do that. So we got to be prepared for it. But yeah, I mean, listen, Matt's never been an elite athlete at the position, but I'm with him. I think he could, you know, you can do more of that. I just, at his age, I just don't even want to risk it. You know, that's my thing.
The one thing Matt doesn't really do well, and I've never understood why, is the quarterback sneak, you know, because he's still a pretty good sized dude, you know. And again, when you had Alex Mack, you know, it's one thing earlier in his career when he's younger and you had a guy like Mud Duck, Todd McClure, to get down there and really get leverage. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's that's not really the option either for us. So, yeah, it's frustrating. What do you think fans get more frustrated when you run it up the gut on 4th-and-1 or you roll it out and get outside the tackle? Because people are like, why didn't you just run it? Well, why didn't we go outside the tackle? So, or as a guy who texted earlier, he wants everybody fired and it's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's... And you gotta, you know, when you're wrong on that too, as a coach like Art Smith, when you're wrong on that play call, you get killed for it. Right. All right, man, we're gonna go around the NFL with our NFL Blitz. Hometown Boy says he's ready for the moment. It's coming up. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Vince Dooley's on the way, guys. In about 20 minutes, we'll talk to the legendary Vince Dooley about the dogs and more coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And our man Brian Jones from CBS Sports at 4 o'clock. All right, Mike, you brought this up. I think it was Guy Talk the other day talking about Gronk. You remember the whole he doesn't watch film thing on the Mannings cast?
They were asking about watching film and breaking down film, and he said that, hey, why should I watch film? Brady breaks down 40 hours a week. I'll just ask him who's covering me. That was the line.
So now he's trying to clear up the air saying, I watch film. He actually watches film. Rob saying, and Grunk we're talking about, I actually watch tons of film. An overload of film. I'll probably blame the Bucks vice president of communications over there. As he asked me 8 times to go on the show, I told him it's not a good idea. He's talking about the Manning cast. So Rob now basically saying, listen, I'm not a lazy blank. All right, I do watch film, and I know my job. But does it really matter, Mike? I mean, honestly, if he did or didn't?
I think it's kind of funny. There's a story real quick that Carl, if you listen to the show, you know that former Georgia Tech quarterback George Godsey, Carl and I are good friends with. I knew Goose for many years, and now he's working as the OC and quarterbacks coach down in Miami. Trying to, I guess now it won't be Tua. He'll be working with Jacoby Brissett this week. But anyway, Goose told the story when he was a tight ends coach where Gronk, something happened in the red zone where either Gronk, they didn't score or something. There was some kind of malfunction, and Belichick was riding everybody pretty hard. So they practiced red zone like as most teams do on Friday. But apparently he made some incredible catch. And this is, you know, obviously the heyday of like the really good safeties and DBs for the Patriots. And apparently Gronk had one of those like easy buttons, like from like the is it Staples? Yeah. And he had it on top of the crossbar. So Gronk scores in this practice, what's a simulated touchdown in practice, runs and grabs this and goes, well, that was easy. It starts hitting the easy button.
He's a fool.
So I mean, like, I love the guy because he's got, you know, he's got energy. He's a big lovable meathead. You know what I mean? There's just guys like that. And I think he doesn't try to make things more complicated. So, I mean, does he do film? I'm sure everyone's doing film study, but I wouldn't put it past Gronk to do less film study than anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Because he's got the God-given talent. Get in the slot. You and Brady have nonverbal communication. Go catch the pass.
I don't think it's not that hard what they're asking him to do. It's not like they're asking him to do something totally different than what he's done his entire career. So, yeah, I mean, but it wouldn't make a difference to me if you said he doesn't watch any film. Does he make plays? The answer is yes. There's a bunch of guys that watch film that don't make plays.
But he also says, you know, if you listen to the Manning cast, he takes pride in his blocking, and he loves to hit people, too. So that's a big – and that requires certainly some degree of study to know what the hell you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So Grunk saying, hey, I do watch film. I was just having fun on the show with the Mannings. Either way, that's out there.
When you got the truth of the legend, print the legend, right? I mean, or if in this case, print the funny story. It was funnier anyway, the way he just kept it the way it was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I guess people were pushing him down there in Tampa about him not, you know, doing his job or something. You just talked about Tua. Brian Flores talked about the fractured ribs for Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua is, he'll be out this week. He has fractured ribs. So obviously he's in a lot of pain. So he'll be out this week. Jacoby will start. And we're just going to take it week to week. Really, you know, let's call it day to day.
So, okay. Jacoby Brissett can win you some games. We know that. He did that in Indy. It's not ideal for the Dolphins. But, Mike, all of a sudden, now you're talking about a team that we thought might be, a playoff team and all of that. And they still may be. But here early on, you're already having quarterback issues.
Yeah, and I know that, we've said that Tua, for whatever reason, even when, you know, they draft him as high as they do, he just seems like he's on thin ice from day one down there. So, look, it's not like it's his fault, but there's just – we've said it yesterday. There's just guys who have, unfortunately, Carl, the history of injury, and he's now one of those guys. He just can't stay healthy, whatever happens. So different body parts, too. It's like a walking operation game.
No, well, I'll refer to myself as a backup quarterback for one.
Thank you, Jacoby Brissett.
Again, Carl, if you don't love yourself, who's going to love you, right?
I know. We say it all the time. We talk about it on this show. If we don't tell you guys how good we are, who's going to tell you?
I work with a guy, rhymes with Steak Shapiro. He says you got to pump your chest out, Carl, because, again, if there's good in things that are happening and no one's telling that to people, you need to let people know what's going on.
That doesn't rhyme with Kang. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to talk with Vince Dooley. Let's go from one quarterback to another one. Let's talk about Justin Fields. He gets the start. Now, I know most folks here in Atlanta are going to be watching because you want to see what he's going to do.
I certainly wanted him.
Of course, but you know how this goes. You say it all the time. This is, right. They can call the show. They can text us and go, see?
Right.
What we wanted was not what the organization wanted to do, okay? Fine. That doesn't mean that we don't support this young man and say, hey, we want to see him do well. Again, some of you saw him play high school football. We saw him at Georgia, and then we saw him at Ohio State. His family's still here. Mm-hmm. I want to see what he does. But he says, Mike, he's ready.
I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time, so my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just get a lot of practice reps in and just study, and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays.
Yeah, Matt Nagy said that when he told Fields he was going to be the starter, you're going in, he said he was stoic. And then they asked him about it and basically said that, yeah, man, I try to maintain an even strain and, you know, be stoic, he said. You know, you know the Fields family pretty well, so this moment shouldn't be too big for him. But there's rookie mistakes to be made by all good rookie quarterbacks. It happens.
It does. He made them last week, Mike, when he got in there, when Dalton got hurt. I mean, I think he threw a pick.
Yeah.
He held the ball in some instances
linebacker
too long.
He didn't see in coverage. He dropped down, and I think Randy Mack said that's a mistake that a lot of rookies make in the NFL.
Yeah, you don't see him. Well, they're there. You don't think they're there, and then all of a sudden, whoop. So we'll see what Fields does in this week's matchup, but he is going to get the start. Hey, in other NFL news, guys, Sean McVay, and this is something we really hadn't talked a lot about. The Rams, they got the Bucs this week. But we said, we thought with Matthew Stafford, this was going to be a better team. But they didn't have outside linebacker Leonard Floyd or, you know, Daryl Henderson at practice on Wednesday, according to the injury report. So McVay, apparently he went home with a stomach bug. You don't want that going around the team. So he announced that he tested negative for COVID-19. And I bring that up, Mike, because we really haven't seen, outside of that Saints situation, the Saints were without seven coaches or whatever it was, I think, last week. But we really haven't seen the impact of, you know, the positive test and guys having to be out and all of that stuff kind of impact the early part of the season here, which I'm a little bit surprised. But then again, a lot of guys got vaccinated.
Right. So Tampa Bay will be taking on the Rams at SoFi. And that's the 425. That's the I'm Troy, he's Joe. That's that game on Fox at 425. And by the way, if I was Sean McVay, I would stay home as long as I could with that Veronica Coleman girlfriend of his. Holy moly.
Are they still dating?
It's according to Wikipedia. They're married according to Wikipedia.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Maybe he did that. Maybe that's the wedding that took place down there when he was trying to tell Matthew Stafford to come join him.
Are they honeymooning down in in Cabo? I'm not sure.
I think you're right.
Hey, speaking of quarterbacks, now, like, I don't know what would – I mean, if there was a guy who was going to sound off on Tom Brady and go public with some information about his relationship with Belichick, I mean, people might roll their eyes when they go, oh, it's Brady's personal trainer. Well, he is the partner with Brady on TB12. So if Tom is going to, you know, talk to somebody and maybe put something out there, would you put some weight behind it? The reason I bring this up is Alex Guerrero does an interview with the Boston Herald, and he basically says, in a nutshell, that Belichick did not evolve with Tom Brady as far as a relationship. And Belichick basically kept treating him like he was a 20-year-old as Tom became the legend he is now. And then into his 40s, basically saying you can't treat a guy like he's a guy in his third or fourth year. You know, you've got to change and you've got to alter the approach the way Jimmy Johnson did with all of his star players in Dallas. But apparently Belichick didn't do that. He says, and he goes, it's just me looking in. He goes, it's like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid he drafted. What do you make of that?
I totally buy it. And here's the thing about this guy. You know, we don't know a lot about him, but he was around everything. So he saw everything. He heard everything. He wasn't a player, so nobody was talking to him. And he was around Brady, who had access to everything. So he was around all the time.
Until Belichick barred him from the facility.
Correct.
That was a little soap opera, too.
So why do you think he did that?
Good question. Good question.
Because he was treating Brady like a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Brady had earned the right to kind of do what superstars do in this league. Hey, my trainer's going to be here. Okay, no problem. Most coaches don't give a damn. Here he is trying to ban the guy from the facility because he's not a part of our program. So I agree. I think this guy's on to something. I just don't think you said it. Most people want to believe it because they think he's, you know, slighted with Brady and being on his side. I just think he was an observer saying, here's what happened.
Right. I mean, like with Bill Belichick, the story that Corey Miller told us. You know, Lawrence Taylor shows up in his car, has to get the trainer to come out because he's handcuffed. He hooked up with some chicks, and he's naked, and he's handcuffed, and he's bleary-eyed. And, you know, this Belichick, oh, you know what? I'm sitting you tonight. No, Lawrence Taylor goes out there and gets 3 sacks and 9 tackles. You know, some guys are just at another level. But in this case, we're talking about just, you know, what Tom Brady is in New England. I think there's some kernels of truth to what this man is saying. I agree with you.
Yeah. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. It's our NFL Blitz. Hey, more football coming up. We're going to talk to Vince Dooley, also Brian Jones. We will get his take on Alabama, Ole Miss. But also, Mike, you know, you think that just from a college football standpoint, we really haven't talked a lot about it, but everybody's buying A&M. I got a feeling that Arkansas is going to give them everything they can handle, by the way. I really do.
Yeah, I love Arkansas because, you know, what are you doing while you're building that recruiting class? You're not, as we always say that phrase, you're not going to beat yourself. Sam Pittman's teams are, quote, I mean, they're fundamentally strong. And let's be honest, A&M's offense is nothing special.
No.
You know, and Arkansas, look, I mean, I think A&M's going to win, but I think that Arkansas is going to hang, and I think it's going to definitely go into the last few minutes of the game.
Yeah. Now, if Arkansas wins, that means they'd be 4-0. They're currently ranked 16. I think they break into the top 10. A&M would drop out. They're 7th. And then, you know, that Alabama game becomes even more important for them if they try to win the West. But then all of a sudden, you've got a new sheriff as far as the West is concerned to worry about. Some years, you know, listen, teams that just come together. I think Arkansas has just the right mix. They got enough veterans on defense, enough guys that came back with the COVID extra year and all that. They got a multi-diversity quarterback. They're an interesting team. I don't know. It's only a 4.5-point spread. But, you know, the thing is, Arkansas at home is a different team than Arkansas on the road, right?
Right, and some of the bigger games are like neutral site games, you know, the Wisconsin-Notre Dame game. I saw, Trevor Maddich? Boy, he's a big dude on ESPN this morning, and he was talking about how Notre Dame has been making little mistakes they've been getting away with based on the teams they're playing, and he says you're not going to be able to get away with some of that stuff against Whiskey playing at Soldier Field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think I said multidimensional. I was talking about diversity or whatever. I don't know what the hell I said.
I want to be diverse and multidimensional.
Yeah, but multidimensional at quarterback. Hey, coming up, the legendary Vince Dooley is set to join us, guys. We'll talk to Coach. We'll get his thoughts on last week, the quarterback thing, and more here on Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk some more college football coming up with Brian Jones, SEC on CBS in about 20 minutes. And Boomer Esiason will join us next hour as well to talk about the Giants and Falcons. But right now, it is the legendary Vince Dooley joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, brought to you by Kroger. With Kroger delivery and free pickup, it's easy to get ready for tailgating. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Coach, where are you today, by the way? I think you're on the road, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm in Richmond. I'm on the board of the American Battlefield Trust, whose mission is to preserve and develop battlefield lands that many of them have just been taken up by sprawl. So we deal with the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, and the Civil War. So we're having our quarterly meeting up here.
Oh, man, that's fascinating. I love that stuff. I mean, we're just talking about Ken Burns documentaries. I'm a Civil War history nut, Coach, so guys, I'm great. Glad you're involved in that. All right, Coach, let's get you to second-guess Kirby and the way he handles his quarterbacks starting last week against South Carolina. What did you think of the – I mean, this isn't Matt Robinson and Ray Goff, but what did you think of the rotation of getting Stetson Bennett in there? A lot of fans didn't like the decision.
Well, I went out to practice and actually saw him throw the ball. I was surprised that he could throw it as well, but I still wasn't sure whether he was going to start or going to play. But evidently, the training really worked on him. I read where he was getting treatment three times a day, and he was amazed himself that he came around so fast. But there's no question he's the quarterback. He's smart. He's very accurate. He throws a long ball. You know, he doesn't scramble or run like some of the great running quarterbacks, but he can move around. He's got good vision, and it was great to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, you've had, you know, stints when you were coaching where your quarterback is out or injured. And, you know, it's a delicate situation, isn't it, how you handle that with the quarterback that's underneath him and how he plays and then what the fans say? I mean, it's a tough thing to weigh, is it not?
Well, it is, but you've got to, I think, sense who your quarterback is. And then if something were to happen to him, I mean, then you got to somehow get the best out of whoever is number two. And we've been very fortunate with Bennett that in those times when we needed him, he would come and deliver, and he can swing out on the move and throw probably as well as anything. He doesn't seem to be quite as comfortable dropping straight back that JT can do, but when he gets out on the corner, he can cause a lot of problems. And he came in again, of course, the week before last against UAB, and to the surprise of everybody, he was just magnificent.
It is Coach Dooley with us, brought to you by Kroger. Each week, guys, don't forget that Kroger and delivery and free pickup. It's easy to get ready for tailgating. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Coach, I'm not trying to, you know, be dismissive of Vanderbilt, but this is one with a new head coach coming in and the way Georgia's defense looks, that it should be a fun trip up to Nashville for Dog fans. And then that Arkansas game. A little nervous about a noon start, though, for Arkansas, because the Ole Miss Alabama game will be the 3:30 one. Can you ever get worried about getting your guys' energy up? And did you know as a coach when sometimes things weren't right?
Well, I'm looking at it perhaps more as a fan than I ever did. But I do think that we should win the ball game in Nashville and win it handily. They're certainly rebuilding with a new coach. But I'll tell you what, after that, and you certainly know it, you got Arkansas at noon, followed by Auburn in Auburn, and then we've got Kentucky And thank goodness we got it off week before we play Florida. So there's four or five teams in this league that can beat Georgia and Alabama on a given day. So I don't know what it looks like. I know what it looked like at the beginning of the season. Everybody said Alabama without any trouble and Georgia without any trouble in this division. But as we get into real football, all those things become not quite so clear as they were prior to the season because of all these other teams that are really good and very capable. So we're getting into the meat of our schedule after noontime on Saturday.
Coach, I know you love to run the ball, and you know how important it is to run the ball. How do you feel about the Dogs' run game right now? Kirby said he felt okay about it.
It's a question. We're throwing it so well. But I thought it was a big improvement this past week against South Carolina. South Carolina's a pretty strong up-front team, and I think that we had to block them pretty good in order to run the ball some. So we were better. We were close to 200 yards rushing, which was far above what we've been doing up until that time. But you've got to keep striving for the balance. But we've got people up front that are physically good enough to block, and I think they'll improve as the season goes on. And we got plenty of running backs. We've got to get a little better balance. But I thought there was some improvement in that respect this past week against South Carolina.
Coach, I don't know how much you got to see of the Florida game hosting Alabama down there at the Swamp, but Florida was really able to run the football. So I think a lot of Georgia fans, it's human nature to start looking ahead to Alabama. But, yeah, running the ball might be something you can do against Alabama this year.
Yeah, well, there's one thing they had. Florida's got a running quarterback, and that might be part of the fact that Florida did so well. We're not quite a, quote, running quarterback. So I think regardless, there's no question that we got to where that Alabama couldn't stop Florida. But if you recall, it was a year or two ago when nobody could stop Ole Miss. And I'm not sure anybody can stop them this year. It looked like they've got the best offensive team in the country, not just in the conference. But if you say conference, we're talking about at least seven teams in the top 15. So Ole Miss is definitely a challenge from the standpoint of running the football and also throwing the football with their quarterback. So in any event, Alabama looks as vulnerable as nobody predicted when the season started. And I think we're going to be the same way with the challenges of all these teams that have just gotten better and better than what we expected them to be at this time of the year.
No doubt. Well, Coach, we're not going to hold you today. I know you're busy and taking time out to talk with us about the Dogs and curious to see what happens this weekend. Hopefully they handle business as we all think they will, and then you get ready for Arkansas. Coach, thanks so much. Enjoy your time up there.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you. Go Dogs.
Coach Julie brought to you by Kroger once again, guys. With Kroger delivery and free pickup, Carl, it's easy to get ready for tailgating. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Did I ever tell you about the time I was asked to be a part of a Civil War reenactment when I was at Virginia Tech?
No.
Because I had longer hair back then, and I'm short, so one of the professors wanted me to play Phil Sheridan, but I had to ride a horse.
Could you ride a horse or no?
Not really. The horse hated me, and it smelled, and it was in a wool costume, and it was the longest 6 hours of my life. But anyway, but I do love Civil War. Now, again, I don't want to be a reenactor, but I do love that stuff, and Coach does, as you know, very much so as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, man, to see how things were and done and what was happening and
right.
All the things that were, you know, transpiring right. During the Civil War and all that stuff.
There was a professor, and he had a bit of a talk a little bit like this, you know, a little bit of a lisp, and so he came to me, and it was I'll probably get in trouble, but I'll do the joke anyway. He literally came to me, Carl, and he says, Mike, because I was on the radio down there at the time at a big, you know, a top 40 station. And he says, Mike, he goes, we are woefully shy of Union officers. Everyone wants to be a Webel.
You talk like that?
He talked like that. So you're trying to keep a straight face. He goes, it would really help us if we could get a high-profile person to play a union officer.
A high-profile person?
Well, if you, Carl, you've never heard of J-104, the Two Virginia Superstation?
I got you.
Rocking the Shenandoah Valley from Withville to Bluefield and beyond. But anyway, that was. But that's part of the time I was at BPI, and I know they disavow me. But anyway.
So you ended up not doing it, though?
No, no, I did it. I'll find the pictures. I've got old photos of it. Me on top of a horse.
Okay.
With a fake mustache.
All right. I've been on top of a horse, not during a reenactment, though. Not during a reenactment.
Dude, I got respect for those guys. And those uniforms, dude. Just like Major League Baseball players on Ken Burns' documentary about baseball. Imagine playing baseball in those itchy things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wearing that stuff for days, weeks, months. A soldier. Ah, yeah.
Not fun. Hey, Brian Jones is on the way, guys. We're going to talk SEC with one of the best. Brian Jones is coming up.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.